Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay in the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
We don't 100% know where KD is with Kyrie Irving. The league doesn't know. But it has been floated to me by executives that I'm sorry, I'm not to say it.
I can't. Don't do it.
That if they would be kept together, that the Lakers would potentially have a package that you could trade for both of them.
Let's go!
All right. Welcome back to the Silver Screen and Roll Podcast Network. This is I Love Basketball. I'm your host, Sabrina Merchant, joined as always by Raj Chapalu. And today, the voices of Brian Windhorst and Richard Jefferson. Raj, it is day one of NBA free agency. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I wasn't doing as well yesterday. I was a little bit worried about the, you know, energy on this podcast. But with the trade requests that we have gotten, and the news that I think it'll eventually lead to, I am on top. We haven't signed, we haven't made any actual trade yet, but we've signed players that are under 35. It's looking, you know, it's looking a lot better than it was last offseason.
So let's start with the things that the Lakers have actually done. Let's begin there. Around this time a year ago, the Lakers had signed a collection of players who really couldn't play on a playoff team. And we were so blinded by the three stars that the Lakers had and all of these lovely names that had returned to the Lakers, the Dwight Howards, Trevor Reeses, Kent Bazemores of the world, that I think, you know, we were just a wee bit too optimistic in our take. But I do think the Lakers have probably signed as many players this year as they did last year who can actually play in a real game. It just so happens these guys are like 23 to 26 years old, instead of the 33 to 36 year olds that we signed a year ago. So in that respect, huge progress on the Los Angeles Lakers free agency front. But let's break down the names real quick. Thus far, per reporting, you know, from ESPN, Shams, whoever, the Lakers have agreed to minimum contracts with Damian Jones, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr. And they have offered their entire taxpayer mid-level exception to one Lonnie Walker IV.
Yep.
Now, Lonnie Walker and Troy Brown Jr. are both coming after their full rookie contracts. They were first-round picks in 2018, played for 4 years, did not get qualifying offers, and are coming to LA for a second chance. Very Malik Monk-esque.
Yes. Yeah?
I believe Lonnie Walker was even a lottery pick 4 years ago. But if he wasn't lottery pick, he was like in the teens, like something around 17 or 18. Let me pull that up. Yeah, he was the 18th pick in the 2018
draft. Okay.
So we've got those two. Damian Jones, Lakers fans very familiar with Damian Jones. He was on the team about 15 months ago. The lob threat that everyone wanted once JaVale McGee was gone. On a previous iteration of this podcast, me and Anthony Irwin had wildly optimistic conversations about Damian Jones, most of them coming from Anthony's direction. I mean, that obviously fills a role, you know, that the Lakers have at center, considering they were starting DeAndre Jordan in game one last year. So that's Damian Jones. And then Juan Toscano-Anderson, another former Warrior. The Lakers love poaching former Warriors. It is an annual offseason tradition like no other.
A wing.
I mean, he kind of plays the four and the five for Golden State, I'm not going to lie. But he's a wing-sized player who has championship experience. I mean, I don't know how much championship experience he had this year because you didn't actually play for the Warriors during this playoff run. But hey, a Mexican American basketball player playing in Los Angeles is actually very, very cool. And by all accounts, Juan Toscano-Anderson, a beloved player within the Oakland community. So those are our four guys who the Lakers have actually agreed to terms with. Where do you want to start with that, Raj?
Well, I think obviously Lonnie Walker probably gets the most attention because he got our taxpayer Emily. But I want to start with Damian Jones because I actually think last season our center position was probably the worst that we've had. I mean, we had DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard, both, I think, over 34. I think Dwight Howard's 36. Mm-hmm. We finally get a mobile center. Damian Jones is 27. Mm-hmm. Zach Lowe said he's improved since he's left the Lakers. Honestly, haven't watched the Kings enough.
Yeah, we don't watch the Kings. Yeah.
We said he's improved as a passer. That's great. You know,
he had a couple nice games against the Lakers this year. Actually. Okay.
Yes, I think I do. Yeah, I remember that.
His final game overtime, ridiculous game during Thanksgiving. Yeah.
And he actually, his last game this season, he was 8-for-9 from the field against the Suns in 30 minutes. But just a mobile center, a guy who's a lob threat. You know, I think AD still wants to play the four in best case scenario for the regular season in his mind. So you give him a mobile center that can, you know, run and jump and block shots. And I think who's been here has some familiarity with the stars that we have. So I think he's my favorite minimum signing so far that we've gotten. We got a couple of wings as well, Troban Jr. But what do you think of Damian Jones? Because I think that was my favorite signing. He was our second signing, I think, or first, I don't remember, of the day. But I think it was great. We got a young center who's like not 35. Like, I think that's a win. That's such a win to have on the team.
100% on board with Damian Jones. Obviously, really enjoyed his couple 10-day stints with the Lakers last year, even though it was entirely COVID-motivated. He shot 66% from the field last year with Sacramento, which obviously is nowhere near the 94% he shot as a member of the Lakers, but 66%, not too shabby.
That's a ridiculous percentage.
It's a really good number. Yeah. I mean, it's 70% on twos and 35% on threes, like the limited threes. He took about half a three a game. So don't read anything into that, but yeah, he's a bouncy guy. He obviously loved the lob threat. You know, I don't know that Russell Westbrook is actually still good at throwing lobs, but that's beside the point. There's a lot of other guards that are on this team. Hopefully one of them knows how to throw a lob. But yeah, I mean, for all of the good things we said about Damian Jones a year ago, how could you not be happy about him returning to the Lakers on a minimum deal? It's about as good of a value as you could get. And he just slots in perfectly, right? You can play him next to Anthony Davis. You can play him as a backup five. You can, like, it's going to work out just fine. He's young, does not get hurt. Looking forward to that very, very much.
Yes, finally a big that can run. I think Darvin Ham wants a team that could run. You know, they're trying to play four out, five out systems, and he can definitely run the floor, another shot blocker. What this team has needed, honestly, I think centers, I mean, we saw Zubac get his extension about $10 million a year, but I think centers mostly go for the minimum. So I think that was a nice signing for us to get.
Unless you're JaVale McGee and you get 3 years, $21 million from the Dallas Mavericks after they played you off the court in the second round of the playoffs. But this is the second straight year that JaVale McGee has signed with a team that he lost to in the second round of the playoffs for more money than he was currently making. I'm so proud of JaVale McGee. He gets to reunite with Jason Kidd and Jared Dudley in Dallas, which Tim McMahon says was a big selling point for JaVale to get that 2020 LA vibe back in Dallas. I don't particularly know why I'm talking about JaVale. I just always really liked him in LA, and he will forever be the GOAT lob catcher that we compare Damian Jones to. Yeah. Very happy to have Damian Jones around. Yeah, seriously, just like nothing bad to say about that.
Yeah, I really like that signing. I mean, we'll see what role he actually gets. Let's see how the rest of the roster feels, what trades we get. But, you know, I think he can fill in as a starting center. I think he's good enough for that and finishes
just like sub out after one quick shift and then you play smaller the rest of the way. But the one thing you did say about how Darvin Ham wants the Lakers to run, I think, is something that you definitely see in the other signings that they have made. Because let's move on to the big ticket item of the day, because one of the big ticket items of the day, we'll obviously get to the other one later, but Lonnie Walker, you know, who the Lakers gave their entire mid-level exception to, which incidentally means that they have none left to sign Max Christie to a longer term contract. But
yes,
again, we'll get to that in a moment.
The THT, is that what that is?
I think of it as a Terrence Mann, honestly. Terrence Mann had a 4-year like minimum deal with the Clippers that he is still getting paid on, even though he is a valid rotation player. It's insane that he's only getting paid $1.6 million, but that's what happens when you use cap space to sign a second round player. Anyway, Lonnie Walker, not much to write home about in his NBA career, I got to tell you.
Sure.
Not a great shooter. I think we were cashing in at about 34%. For Lonnie Walker over his first 4 seasons. Mm-hmm. The best that can be said about him is he was kind of a secondary ball handler in San Antonio, you know. His assist rate was the highest of his career last year, so that's nice, I guess. Career 78% shooter from free throw range, so like that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
The one thing Lonnie Walker does really well is he just jumps out of the gym. He glides yes. down the floor. Like, he is stunningly fast. He's got incredible vertical like threat. If this is a team that wants to play in transition, which I think is the way you like best, I think that's the best version of the Lakers, just given the fact that they don't have a ton of spacing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their half court offense can get really clunky. You just want to push the tempo as much as possible. This is a guy who fits that ethos at the very least. Like, he is going to run. He's very athletic.
Yeah.
He's just going to be committed to playing in transition as much as possible. So at the very least, there's like some theory behind why you sign him. You know, I think that's something that the Lakers saw when they leaned into more of Reeves and Monk last year, when they played Stanley Johnson, when Gabriel, right? Like, just get athletes who can play fast, who will play hard.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. The problem is that Lonnie Walker has just not been very good at doing any of those things, right? Like, I think, you know, Crandis over at Basketball Index just posted these horrific defensive numbers for Lonnie Walker. And this
those
was
weren't fun to look
on
at.
A San Antonio Spurs team that theoretically prizes defense, you know, among yeah. the rotation. So, yeah, I've rambled a little bit too much about Lonnie. Raj, fill me in here.
Yeah, no, sure. Like, so I've seen people, I mean, the questions of that, people wanted a two-way wing, right, on the tax pyramid level. Honestly, mm-hmm. I don't think two-way wings were really available at the tax
pyramid. I would agree. Level. I have not seen a single two-way wing change hands on the tax pyramid level.
So when you go after that, I think you want to go more upside. And Lonnie Walker is 23 years old, and he has the tools, right? You're going to throw him into our developmental system. That's Phil Handy. That's the other coach we took in from the Brooklyn Nets. I forgot his name.
Gent.
And so, yeah, you throw a guy like that in there. Hopefully his shooting can improve. He did shoot 41%, 40.6% from three his second year in the league in 61 games. Didn't really check how many attempts that was. I think he's a better shooter than he's shown. He's a good pull-up jump shooter. And I think the difference, I see comparisons to Malik Monk, and they're close in height. Malik Monk was 6'3", Lonnie Walker 6'4". But Lonnie Walker has a
6'5", by Cleaning Glass.
6'5", nice. But he has a 6'10 wingspan, which I think really changes what you can do. Again, that has to be theorized into actually on the floor. But I think mm-hmm. he plays bigger than his size, like, to me. Like, and honestly, I didn't think he was available. He got let go today, right? I think the Spurs rescinded their qualifying offer
today.
So he would have been at the top of my TPM Elite list. I didn't think he was available. So I think that's a nice high upside type of player. We have a ton of guards now, which kind of, you know, foreshadows me that, you know, we're going to kind of move, maybe
consolidate some of it,
consolidate some of them. But he's a nice, super athletic player that I think, you know, at $6.5 million, like, it's hard to find that. We talked about Gary Harris. He just got 2 years, you know, I mean, 26 million. I mean, he's a 6'4" two-way
shooting,
I guess,
guard,
yeah. shooting guard with quotation marks. So I'm excited. I think Lonnie Walker, again, just high upside. And we see these guys, they want to come to LA. We just saw Malik Monk at 2 years, 19 from the Kings. So Lonnie Walker has that opportunity too, and he's clutch, which I don't think hurts when you're coming
it to does come not to hurt yeah so so, yeah. So a couple of things I want to bring up after that. The Lakers started last season with 4 clutch clients: LeBron, mm-hmm. Anthony Davis, Kendrick Nunn, and Talen Horton-Tucker. So only one of them was brought in, you know, new to the team.
Sure.
They still have those 4 clutch clients, but they have added Lonnie Walker, Troy Brown Jr., Juan Toscano-Anderson, and one of their two-way contracts, Scottie Pippen Jr., is also a clutch client. So that number has doubled this year. For any indication that, you know, the Lakers were unhappy with LeBron James dictating front office operations, let's just say the relationship between the Lakers and clutch appears to be pretty good. Yeah, appears to be pretty good.
Right. No, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I understand the, you know, people don't want clutch running the team, obviously. But I mean, if it's a good player and they're clutch, I don't really have an issue. You don't want your whole roster kind of filled with clutch lines, I guess. You would like a little bit more variety, I guess, on your team. But I don't have a problem with it. And I think Lonnie Walker is legit. I think he can really play. Those defensive numbers that Tim posted, obviously, those were really terrible
horrific.
To look at.
Horrific.
Horrific to look at. Hopefully, Darvin, I mean, coming from the Spurs, Greg Popovich's system, I feel like a player there, I kind of trust what they're doing over there, like their developmental system over there. You take a player from that, hopefully Darvin Ham and the coaching staff can get a little bit more out of him. He's too athletic. He's too good. He's still young enough to be molded. So I like the play there. If he plays any game, Sabrina, he's past the Kendrick Nunn signing from last season. Kendrick Nunn played zero games last year. Like the baseline is so low. The bar is like really low. So I'm hoping he can contribute at some level.
We talked about this on Slack a couple of days ago about how the Lakers really haven't hit on any of their mid-level signings since the start of the Rob Pelinka era. I think that's a little unfair, honestly, because the first mid-level signing went to Avery Bradley, and okay. He was the starting point guard for that entire season and actually pretty good for the Lakers when he played.
Yeah.
The fact that he did not play in the postseason was a once-in-a-lifetime cataclysmic global pandemic world-altering event. So mm-hmm. I don't really blame Avery Bradley for the fact that he didn't play during postseason. I think the Lakers fans' judgment of the player that Avery Bradley was in 1920 is heavily clouded by the player Avery Bradley was in 21-22, which,
yeah,
let's put a spade on a spade. Like, that was terrible. But I think the Lakers did fine with that first one. 2020, that offseason, it obviously goes to Montrezl Harrell, who is unable to get onto the court really during that playoff series against Phoenix. Last year, the mid-level went to Kendrick Nunn. Or the majority of it went to Kendrick Nunn. We saved some for buyout candidates, which didn't happen. But we all know how Kendrick Nunn's first season with the Los Angeles Lakers went. So, I mean, I would hope that Lonnie Walker could be the best mid-level candidate that the Lakers have signed in the last 4 years. Even if he's the second best, I think I'd be okay with that. If he was not quite as good as Avery Bradley was in 1920, I think I'd be okay with that. Because I just have these wonderful, fond memories of Avery Bradley canning six threes against the Clippers in that last March game, you know, before the shutdown. He did very good things. Like, there's a reason why Frank Vogel had the Avery challenge. There's a reason why they were so willing to bring him back. But again, I'm not here to just gush about Avery Bradley, because the Lakers still have two roster spots left, and who knows what they're going to.
Well, Lonnie Walker, at least, I mean, just in theory, his percentages haven't really matched up with it. But when you watch his tape, he's a pull-up jump shooter. Like, he's an off-the-dribble pull-up three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. His percentages aren't great. I think he shot, like, 33% on pull-up threes. I was looking at it. But, like, it looks smooth. It looks good. And that doesn't matter much if the ball doesn't go in enough. But I think, like, he's young enough to where you can kind of work with that. With Anthony Davis, again, I've been asking for guards who can shoot to pair with AD. I just think if you pair AD with guards that can't shoot, it's kind of annoying to watch how people defend them. They just go under the screen. Lonnie Walker will pull up on you if you go under that screen, and his jumper is clean enough. I think he has more handles than like a Kendrick Nunn does. I think he has a little bit more off the dribble juice than, like, especially with his athleticism, the way he can jump, than Malik Monk can. He has some crazy finishes at the rim. So I think there's something there. The defense stuff has to be figured out. I want to go deeper into why, you know, he's rated as like the third worst defender guard in the league. Is that what Tim or something? I forgot how it was.
I believe
rated,
that's basically what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he was like the worst guard defender on the Spurs for sure. But against, I mean, 6'5", I'm not really sure why that happened. Well, I think I'll have to go deeper into that, but I think like he's a legit offensive option. And he's not 35. Like it's
he's
a win.
Only like 23 years
he's
old.
He's 23.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I generally think that betting on young players to improve is a good proposition. You know, like, this guy played 1 year in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a young draft pick. I think it's okay to just try to find upside in these players, right? Because there was no upside to be found in Trevor Ariza and Carmelo Anthony.
We already got Trevor Ariza's upside.
DeAndre Jordan, right? Like, there was no upside to be found on those players last year. At least there is a theory behind signing guys who are on the other side of their prime. And again, like we touched on earlier, who else was coming for this amount of money, right? Like the Clippers signed Amir Coffey to 3 years, $11 million. I think Amir Coffey's comparable to the type of player we can expect Lonnie Walker to be. Not as good, I don't think, honestly. Lonnie Walker's probably not as good as Amir Coffey, but that was a restricted free agent, right? Like the Clippers were bidding against nobody for that. But like you said, Gary Harris, 2 years, $13 million. Kyle Anderson, it seems like, was 2 years, $18 million. Even Mo Bamba got like 2 years, $20 million. That was another name that was on the Lakers list, I think, or at least the list of players that the Lakers would theoretically be going after. Patty Mills went back for 214 to the Nets. Yeah. PJ Tucker got 333, I think. Like Chris Boucher went back to the Raptors for like 335. Thaddeus Young got two in the teens as well. Just none of these players were going to come for the money that the Lakers had to offer. And like, I know some Laker fans are like eagerly waiting on Otto Porter. Like he hasn't signed yet. Like who knows what kind of money he's going to sign for. So I just don't think that it was reasonable to expect this particular salary tool to account for more in this like cap climate. Like last year was one thing when it was, oh, we could have had Rudy Gay or Patty Mills instead of Kendrick Nunn. But like, was Patty Mills that great in playoffs? Like, nah. And was Rudy Gay that good? Like he wasn't even really playing for the Utah Jazz. So the mid-level is just, no matter how often they update the collective bargaining agreement to change the mid-level, like this contract for some reason always sucks. Like, it is just hard to find a player to switch teams on this number.
It's also like what happens when you have turnover every year, right? You just don't have players with their bird rights. So if you're continuing to sign players just straight out from free agency, you're just not going to have advantage to bring them back. Like with Malik Monk, right? Like we could not pay him more than the $6.5 million. And bless Malik Monk going and telling, you know, getting Jovan that
money,
he,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, he told him he would take less to stay with the Lakers. Yeah.
Bless him for that. Is the question.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't taking a minimum and obviously it wasn't that much. So yeah, like I just think like if you getting new players every year from free agency, it'd be nice to have some kind of consistency. Lonnie Walker will have the same issue next summer. I mean, we don't have his bird rights at all. So
I mean, but we have far more ability to pay him than we did Malik Monk, who signed on a minimum. Yes. Right.
That's very true. Yeah. We should have more.
I do like signing the younger players to these higher cap amounts so that you actually have some measure of retaining them. Like the old guys are who you sign to the minimums. Right.
Right.
Like, so Malik Monk is making $219 on the deal with the Kings. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that's like the most favorable of terms, right? It's not exactly what they're giving him. So let's say his average annual salary is $9 million. Like if you do 120% off of the $6.5 million for Lonnie Walker, like that puts you in the realm of keeping somebody like, you know, Malik or Lonnie, assuming the season works out and you want to keep him, whatever. But yeah, I don't hate the signing. Like I've honestly had a much higher opinion of Lonnie Walker up until the entire internet like shat on him today.
Me as well.
So we'll see how that goes.
Well, let's move to the two actual wings we signed. So we signed Troy Brown Jr., who's 6'6". I've seen 6'7" somewhere. I'm not sure where. So he's probably somewhere in between there. And then Juan Toscano-Anderson, right? So those are the two actual wings that they signed. They weren't great for the last teams, but I think it's actual size. It's nice. Again, young guys. Troy Brown Jr. is what, 22? Juan Toscano, I think, is 29. If I checked his age,
yeah.
He's not young, but he's relative
to what we were working with. Yeah,
he's a baby compared to like Trevor Ariza last year.
He just turned 29.
29, so, yes,
not terrible.
Yeah. Not terrible, no, and he's still like I think growing into the player he was. He came to the league late, right? I think this was his third.
Yeah, this was just his third season, all of which have been spent with the Warriors. Yeah.
With Warriors, yeah. I think last season was a better season for him. I think there were legit flashes of like a player that can be in a playoff rotation. So
yeah, when the Warriors like recaptured their Warriors-ness at the end of the season, you know, that 15-5 stretch that Zach Lowe has mentioned ad nauseum on every podcast that he has taped over the last month. Mm-hmm. Toscano Anderson was playing in those games, right? Like he was averaging 25 minutes or so over the final, you know, 20 games of the season. So that tells me that if Steve Kerr counted on him like during gut check time, that this guy actually knows how to play basketball, in contrast to the other Warrior that we signed last year. So I feel good about Juan Toscano Anderson. I don't think he's, you know, going to be like a lockdown wing defender or, you know, somebody who needs to have a high usage role, but he's a guy who just like knows how to play. Another guy who I think is going to be really good in transition and running the floor. And again, that just sort of speaks to the identity that the Lakers are trying here. And a career 36% three-point shooter, like, I'll take that. That's fine.
I mean, JTA and even Troy Brown Jr., they fit, like, I think around LeBron and AD, you're like, if LeBron and AD create advantage, then give you the ball. You need to be able to do two things at least. You need to be able to either shoot or keep the advantage, attack a closeout. And I think JTA does that enough. He did that around Steph Curry. And Troy Brown Jr., we'll see. But I mean, he has all the, like, the toolbox of it. I think he's a shooter in name. I don't think he shot a great percentage last year. But I mean, he's 6'7".
I don't even remember Troy Brown being a shooter at Oregon, honestly. I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, I remember, I think on like the Bulls or the Wizards, he had a few games against us, or I remember that he played well, which doesn't mean much, I guess we weren't really good for
last season. But again, only 23 years old, so not a bad place to start.
He was a high pick? I don't remember exactly.
Troy Brown Jr. was selected by the Wizards, so I assume that he was a high pick, but maybe that was a year that they still had John Wall and made the playoffs. Let's check real quick. He was the 15th pick. Yeah.
Oh, 15th pick. Okay.
Right in that same range as Lonnie Walker.
Yes. Yeah. So
what happened in this 2018 NBA draft? Why are these guys all available all of a sudden?
Well,
let's take a quick look at the teens here. All right. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes 11. Miles Bridges, 12. Jerome Robinson, 13th. Yikes.
He went to the Clippers, right? I think Jerome.
Yeah. Michael Porter, 14th. Then Troy Brown Jr., 15th. Zaire Smith, I believe already out of the league, 16th. Dante DiVincenzo, 17th. I'm going to pause here. The Kings used a lot of money to just sign Malik Monk, and they did not give a qualifying offer to Dante DiVincenzo. I'm a little bummed that this mid-level went to Lonnie Walker instead of Dante DiVincenzo, because I love Dante.
He has to be priced out. There's no way you are getting Dante DiVincenzo. He's too,
that's a good point.
Again, I don't know what the Kings are like. I love Malik Monk. Don't get me wrong. I love Malik. Dante DiVincenzo was like a starter on a team that was winning a million games.
I know, right?
He was a lockdown defender. Bucks fans were like, let's wait till you get Dante DiVincenzo back. Like, I remember he got hurt and they went on a little bit of a slide. But no, he would have been great to pick up. But I just think he would have been priced out. But happy for Malik, though, to bounce on whatever Sacramento is doing over there.
Yeah, those are a couple of names that I'm keeping an eye on, like Otto Porter, Dante DiVincenzo. I guess like TJ Warren, you know, like what these forward size players are going to get on their next contracts, because a lot of money has already been handed out. And I'm interested to see like if they're just going to return to their teams, you know, with bird rights, or if they're settling for discounts elsewhere, because I'm going to be disappointed when players that I like settle for discounts elsewhere, not on the Lakers.
Yeah, we'll see where they go. I guess I think Otto Porter probably goes back with the Warriors.
The reporting is that we offered Malik Monk our full mid level and he said no, and decided to take the higher mid level from Sacramento. Which, you know, get your money, man. Go play with your buddy De'Aaron Fox. Like, is he as good of a buddy as Austin Reeves? I don't know, but at least you're still in California and can have some day trips together. The Lakers still have two roster spots remaining. Anything particular you'd like to see from those two, assuming that everybody else stays in place?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope for a couple more wings. I think that would be nice to kind of fill out. Maybe one more just jumpy center so that Damian Jones isn't the only other center on the roster.
Would you like Dwight Howard back?
So I've seen that kind of brought up. Honestly, would not. I think, you know, okay. I think last year Dwight kind of ran. I mean, he was still only playing like once in a while and still just could not move. We need centers that can move this year. And I think it would go against kind of what we're kind of building here. So, yeah, I would like a couple more wings if they can, even if it's people on the summer league roster that we're about to watch in a few weeks here. But yeah, I like the start. I mean, again, like I think we both agree, you're not finding two-way wings on vet mins or the taxpayer mid level. It just wasn't happening. So you got to find what you can. You got to pull up jump shooter for the tax pyramid level. If that works out, we'll see what Kendrick Nunn brings. And
individually, I like the Damian Jones, Troy Brown, and Juan Toscano-Anderson signings. I am more mixed on the Lonnie Walker signing, not so much that he got the most money, but because they didn't save any of the mid-level for buyouts or, you know, a second round pick contract.
Mm-hmm.
But then I look at the body of the Lakers depth chart and I'm just thinking, dear God, that's a lot of players who should not be playing for a high level team. It's I mean, like, you saw this listed out, right? You look at the centers and it's AD, Damian Jones, Wenyan Gabriel. Power forwards, LeBron, JTA, Stanley Johnson. Your small forward is currently Troy Brown and THT. Shooting guard, Reeves, Lonnie Walker, Max Christie. And point guard, Russ and Kendrick Nunn. And I don't know. It's they could use some help. They could use some help, I think, is one way of putting it. Fortunately, there does appear to be a way for help to be coming.
Become, yes.
So let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about that. All right. So as was teased at the beginning of the show, Kevin Durant requested a trade today. And it's kind of nuts that we didn't lead off with that. But then again, Kevin Durant is not a Los Angeles Laker. We talked about players who are actually going to be Los Angeles Lakers on a Laker podcast. But Kevin Durant requested a trade today. And as a consequence of that trade request, the reporting is that Kyrie Irving is also likely on his way out of Brooklyn, despite having opted into the final year of his contract earlier this week.
Yes.
You and I spoke at length about what Kyrie Irving could do for the Los Angeles Lakers. Go back and listen to our show from a week ago if you want to hear about the basketball fit. Raj is supremely excited about it. I also agree that the basketball fit makes a lot of sense. I'm less enthused about the personal fit. But again, I just listed 13 players on the Laker roster that didn't exactly excite me. So, you know, personal fit be damned sometimes. The general reporting suggests that Kyrie Irving's preferred destination is the Los Angeles Lakers. This is what Brian Windhorst has told us. This is what Shams Charania has been saying on his show all day. Are you buying it, Raj? Like, are you feeling that Kyrie Irving is going to end up on the Los Angeles Lakers?
Let's back up for 2 seconds. So okay. a week ago, we did a show because Kyrie, was sending subliminal messages and, you know, messages that no one really could tell. And we did a whole show about it. And then he opted in, right? And all that kind of buzz went down. The energy went down. And then this Kevin Durant trade request happens and just gives me the boost right back. And somehow our show last week is twice as relevant as it was a week ago. So yes, I am buying it. It's actually louder now. Like the speakers are getting even louder.
Louder now, right? Like
the smoke has turned to like even more flames. Like the flames are heating up. The Dave McMenamin went on, you know, TV today and said the Lakers think they can add shooting through trades, which
you think they mean, yeah. Joe Harris?
I did connect those two dots.
I would love for them to mean Joe Harris, honestly.
That's what it definitely feels like. We talked about Lonnie Walker. Reminds me a lot of Kendrick Nunn. I just have a hard time believing, like, they went and got more guards to add to this roster with Talen Horton-Tucker, who needs the ball in his hands as well. I am buying it. I think it would be incredible. I know you have questions about the outside of basketball fit, and I totally understand those concerns.
Raj, the yes. tweet that he sent via Shams Charania this week.
Shams did not have to tweet it, Serena.
Normal people and whatever the hell the rest of that was. I'm not even going to dignify it by reading it again. How could you possibly want that on the Lakers this year?
Did you watch last season?
Oh, I mean, if it's that or, you know, Max Christie, Kendrick Nunn lineups, I get it.
Again, like, I keep making this comparison, but like, Serena, this is not Lou Williams coming on the market. This is Kyrie Irving. I know you're not as excited as I am. But again, I think if you believe in Darvin Ham, if you believe in the culture that he's bringing, you bring in Kyrie freaking Irving, maybe this gets AD to have some kind of boost in, you know, energy. This gives some enthusiasm to the whole team. You have a pick and roll partner. I mean, I just can't imagine going from what we've been watching Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook, Austin Reeves, bless Austin Reeves, but
this
whoever was running.
Why we love Malik Monk so much.
Why we love Malik
what
Monk as well.
What a pure jump shot.
Again, but Malik does it like once in a while, he blows up.
There is somebody with a purer jump shot than Malik Monk.
This is Kyrie Irving. I mean, him and LeBron have already won a title together. I can imagine the pick rolls with Anthony Davis. Maybe I'm getting too deep into it because there's still chances that this does not happen, but yes, I'm excited. I would really welcome it. And I get the off the court fit. I totally get that. I just like what other option you have? Both Russ and Kyrie expire next year. Like, this is where sure, else are you going? Are you calling Charlotte? Like, I'm not sure.
Just speaking of the off court fit, honestly, personality wise, sure. I'm not sure it would be that much better to have Russell Westbrook on the Lakers next year. Like, you and I talked about this before recording. Russell Westbrook was at Kevin Love's wedding last weekend. LeBron James was at Kevin Love's wedding last weekend. Did we see any visual confirmation of the two of them in the same 10-foot bubble together? No. No, I do not believe we did. And this is not the kind of thing where, like, oh, I hang out with my coworkers all the time. Like, why would I want to see them again? Like, LeBron is at the Cavaliers table, right? He's taking pictures with all his former Cleveland buddies, including, you know, Laker champ J.R. Smith, I believe, was there. But yeah, honestly, I don't think the interpersonal dynamics are all that great with Russ. Like, we're going to get some hella awkward situations with Russell Westbrook.
Sure. That
I think are still more palatable than whatever Kyrie Irving plans to bring to Los Angeles. Let me put that out there. Kyrie Irving is entirely difficult to predict. To say that I could, you know, prepare myself for what Kyrie Irving is going to bring is inane, because Lord knows what Kyrie Irving could bring. Like, the last 3 years, I mean, he missed basically an entire season because he refused to get vaccinated. He took several personal leaves from the Nets the year before. A couple of times, Steve Nash openly admitted that he had no idea where Kyrie was. And at one point he was seen at his like sister's birthday party during a Nets game. So all that to say is, like, there's a lot of Kyrie that I'm not entirely on board with. Yeah,
sure.
But again, I did just read a 13-man roster for the Lakers that bummed me out, that like really bummed me out. And I know how this season finished for the Lakers. I was nowhere near that bummed last year when I read the Carmelo, Trevor Ariza, Kendrick Nunn lineup. Okay. I should have been. Clearly, I did not read the situation well. I mean, the way Dave McNettman reported it, saying that the Lakers are confident that they could find shooting via trade. What exactly could the Lakers trade to get a real shooter? Assuming it's not Kyrie Irving. Who is that shooter? What is the trade package? Like, it's nothing, right? The only thing he is talking about is Kyrie Irving, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Nets also have another shooter, right?
Joe Harris.
Seth Curry. Yeah, one of those.
I think Seth Curry is a good contract. I don't think they'd want to trade him. I think they can, like, get assets for him. They don't have to dump him. Joe Harris, I kind of think, is a bad contract. But who cares at this point if you're the Lakers? Because he just would fit so perfectly.
Yeah. I feel like people don't say this out loud enough, but like, next year after this year, LeBron would be going to year 21. Like, that's an absurd year to go into. Like, we are on a year to year basis here, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And again, like, if you keep Russ, and I've heard, you know, wait for Kyrie free agency. We don't know what Kyrie doing in 6 weeks. You're gonna wait for Kyrie months? Yeah. So like, I just think waiting for 2023 free agency would just be absurd. So this is the time, go in now. You made the Russ trade mistake. You gave away, you know, wing players and a first round pick, but you have a chance to, you know, fix that. Most franchises don't get that chance. I mean, Brooklyn, you know, bet all their chips on the table for two superstars. I don't know how the next CBA is going to go, but Sabrina KD requested a trade with 4 years left on his deal.
No options. 4 years.
And the Nets just have to be like, all right, where do you want to go? Like, that's the business we're in. And, you know, Kyrie, and they're talking about other teams can put up offers, but let's be real here. Like, teams, players with 1 year left, like Kyrie, they kind of have a lot of leverage.
Nobody wants to get into the Kyrie Irving business. I'm going to say this one more time. Nobody wants to get into the Kyrie Irving business. The Lakers are in a very unique position because they have such a horrific season that they are coming off of. And they have one player who Kyrie Irving has actually said he wants to play with in LeBron James. I legitimately cannot think of another situation in the league where it makes sense for Kyrie Irving to go, right? Like, do you want to put him next to Luka? Who in hell is playing defense on that team? Like, are you going to play three guard lineups with him, Spencer, and Luka? Like, no, that's just not happening.
Sure.
Another contender. Let's see. Is he going to go to Golden State? Hell no. Is he going to go to Phoenix? Hell no. Like, it can't go back to Boston. God forbid he goes back to Boston. The Knicks just got Jalen Brunson. I'm sure they'd love to have Kyrie. Can you believe the Knicks wasted all of their cap space on Jalen Brunson when these guys became available?
What are they doing? What are they doing?
You can't go to Toronto. Isn't there still a vaccine mandate in Toronto? I mean,
yeah, you're not getting anything from Toronto.
There's literally nowhere in the league where it makes sense for Kyrie Irving to go other than the Lakers. And I still don't want him. I still don't. I can't do it.
That's so crazy to me.
He is crazy. I mean,
sure. But what's the, Serena, what's the alternative?
The alternative is watching a lot of bad basketball. It is watching a lot of bad basketball. The only thing I enjoyed watching last year was Malik Monk and Austin Reaves. And unfortunately, half of that is gone. It sucks.
That's the point, though. Like, Kyrie obviously isn't the greatest. Like obviously, we're in this situation because we have a player that makes way more than, you know, his value to a team. I mean, $47 million for Russell Westbrook. He's earned every penny of it. But it makes your team building really tough. It makes you read out names, like, no disrespect to any of those names, but, like, you know, all the guys that we just signed. Like, it makes you...
There are six names that you could be talking about right now. Maybe seven.
So it puts you into that position there. And so if you can get a legit star, which I think when they play, let's put that in, put that in quotation, like when they play Kyrie Irving, when he play, like, his numbers still don't look real to me. So this is last year.
Really, really good.
37 minutes. Okay, this is a player who won zero enthusiasm for basketball, as it was pointed out.
Part-time player a year ago.
Part-time player battling with the city of New York. Meanwhile, while playing, like, hated the coaching staff. I can keep going. Still averaged 27 on 42% from three. 42%.
And he takes some ridiculous shots. Some real YOLO shots.
And still got six assists a game when, like, it's what, Bruce Brown or whoever, or Nick Claxton or all the guys that, you know, they were surrounding him, surrounding him with. Six assists a game, four rebounds. Like, those players don't come available, especially that type of talent. And this
was a number one pick for a reason.
And he was, I think Zach Lowe said he voted him second team all NBA
at least all NBA 2 years ago. Yeah. Maybe it's been third team, but still just 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you rather have Kyrie or James Harden next year? Like, I think that's an interesting question as well, right? Like, Philly's about to take James. Sure. James is about to get a 3 year. I'm pretty
sure I take James.
James will get a 3-year, $100 million deal. We saw how the season closed for him. Yeah. I mean, I think I've seen Kyrie come through more in big playoff games than James Harden.
Kyrie just not be in big playoff games because he was hurt. And also do terrible things like pretend to guard Giannis in the 2019 playoffs.
Like, him and Brad Stevens definitely did not have the same game plan in that playoff series. And LeBron's the guy who's got the most out of Kyrie. I mean, I know these are positive spins and it can go terribly.
We talked about all this. We don't need to go over the internal machinations of Kyrie Irving. And the one thing I do want to say is that it does appear that the Lakers have learned something from the mistakes of last year.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, we talked about how they have prioritized youth a little bit more, you know, even if the track record of these players is not impressive. There is hope for development because of how young they are, how early they are in their careers. And then another thing that Dave McMenamin said on ESPN was that Darvin Ham is with Rob Pelinka making these decisions. He did not go to Summer League. He is working with the front office on the free agency project for now. And how many times did we discuss how Frank Vogel and last year's roster were decidedly not a match made in heaven? Like, there's no way Frank Vogel made any contributions to the selections of last year's free agency period. So I'm glad that even if the outcome is still uninspiring at the moment, like, there is better process.
Yeah, definitely. And look, that's a low bar, like having a new coach be involved in, you know, free agency decisions. But it's nice to see. Obviously, Frank Vogel, I think, was locked out of the room, or however you want to say it. There was no way.
Literally locked out of the room. He was not told that there were meetings taking place.
He just got a text one day. What? We're trading for Russell Westbrook?
We're not re-signing Alex? What?
But yeah, it's nice to see him
come back for less money, and we said no.
Oh, That hurts. But yeah, it's nice to see him in those rooms, in the decision making, being able to match players to how he wants to play. And I think that's good. And there was a little nugget. I think Alex Kennedy also, he said that Troy Brown Jr. and Lonnie Walker are best friends. So
the new Malik Monk and Austin Reeves.
So that's a nice little nugget there. But yeah, like I hope this is a good start. Hopefully Ham also has like even more input a little bit on the two-way guys, you know, the young guys that we have on the team. So it'd be nice. I think it's a good start to free agency. I know everyone wanted two-way wings. Those were not available for our resources. We have two crazy two-way players in LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like that's our two-way players right now. After that, you're just you're hoping to find it.
I wish we could end on a more optimistic note than that. So let's just have fun here, Raj.
Sure.
Let's set a percentage. What's the percentage chance that Kyrie Irving starts next year on the Lakers?
Well, he will start if he's on, the team. Yes. I'm going to go 55%.
55? I thought you were going to be like 80 or something.
I don't want to jinx it. How about you?
Just based on the fact that every Lakers offseason has somehow been worse than the one preceding it, you know, from my fan perspective, I'm going to say 100%.
Oh, wow. 100%. You just made my day. Oh.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to actually think of a new name for the podcast if and when Kyrie Irving joins the LA Lakers. Raj, start brainstorming, okay?
I think when you see him play like once, you're gonna be like, oh, okay. Like this
again, I want to point this out. I have rooted for a team with Kyrie Irving on it. I rooted hard for a team with Kyrie Irving on it. We went to school together for crying out loud, and I still did not enjoy it. Admittedly, I'm much older than I was then. You know, I'd like to think that my personality, my temperament have...
So is Kyrie. Yeah.
...mitigated a little bit, but who knows? Who knows?
I'm hoping. I mean, he played... the games played aren't great.
I'm not going to lie.
It's not great at all, honestly.
Juan Toscano Anderson played more minutes than this guy last year. Actually, that's a reasonable thing to check. How many minutes did Kyrie Irving play last year? He played 1,091 minutes last year, so more than one.
So more than JTA. Okay, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, knowing that Irving at least played more minutes than JTA, maybe there is some hope. But yeah, it's just going to be a long summer if you're trying to convince me that what the Lakers are doing makes sense, because at the moment, it's tough.
I like how we went total opposite though. They were all old guys last offseason, and Rob Pelinka's like, no, it's all young guys this time. I think there's a middle
ground. Play basketball.
There's a middle ground there, but you know, I think I'd rather lean this way. So I mean, it's better than last year to start. We'll see what trades and stuff happen.
Again, the fact that like we are saying it's better than last year when universally this offseason was celebrated last year. I just don't know how I feel about that. I mean, we're already like in some weird, strange revisionist mode here. And I'm just sad that the only saving grace is the acquisition of Kyrie Irving. The only thing that will get us out of this mess that we've created is the messiest player in the NBA. Next time you and I talk, we're going to speak about, just some of the most disastrous stints in Lakers history. I think that's a good way of preparing ourselves for what is to come. But yeah, okay. So Raj is at 55%. I'm at 100%. Do with that what you will about Kyrie Irving. Unbelievable. Thank you all for listening to the Silver Screen Roll podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to all of our shows on the Silver Screen Roll feed. We talk about the Lakers and the NBA every day of the week. Anthony's even recording Lakers lowdowns from a cruise in the middle of the ocean. So Lord knows you're going to get some good content over the next 2 weeks as free agency continues. And we'll be back next week.